And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Hello there, Mickey. How have you been?
I'm doing well. Just got off a really nice fishing trip on the Fraser River and back in Vancouver. Do some business again this week.
All right. Well, good stuff. Well, we're focusing on a subject, Mickey, that I know you love to talk about, and that is rare earth elements. In previous conversations, we've highlighted the fact that one country dominates this market on a global scale, and that is China, with 90% plus of the world's supply of rare earth elements coming from China. I would imagine this has to represent a deep concern for companies and end users here in the West. What is the latest in terms of Chinese supply of rare earth elements to companies outside of its borders?
Well, it's not very good for the next 3 to 5 years. That's how long it's going to take, probably on the long end of that, 5 years before North America is going to have its own captive mines and supply chain. So in the interim, China has announced new export quotas, crackdown on illegal miners in an attempt to control a black market, environmental restrictions, and probably most importantly, an intent to concentrate processing and the manufacturing supply chain in China.
Well, Mickey, when we're talking about quotas and supply restrictions, I would imagine that can mean only one thing, and that is a curtailment of material reaching a market. When that happens, the price has to move higher. What has happened in this regard?
Well, there are shortages, and some of them I think are just perceived, and supply disruptions. The Western world users are increasingly concerned about the security of supply, and as a result, as you have alluded to, REE prices have skyrocketed over the last 8 months, with an overall price increase of 300% for the entire basket of rare earth metals.
Okay, now that entire basket of rare earth elements, in fact, represents, what, 16 different elements. Has the movement in price been fairly uniform right across the board, or have different elements moved a lot more dramatically than others?
Well, the latter is the case. It's interesting that the export quotas have been set as gross tonnages for each processing, brokering, exporting, manufacturing entity in China. Therefore, it stands to reason that the higher-priced rare earth metals have been preferentially exported at the expense of the more common ones. For example, less costly light rare earth elements with very high tonnage demands, and those would be things such as lanthanum and samarium and cerium, those price increases have gone up 500 to 700%, while the much higher cost heavy rare earth elements, which are relatively scarce with very low tonnage demands, have gone up less so, and that would include things such as europium, which is only up 22%. Mm-hmm. Terbium is up 65%. Now, those are not price increases to scoff about, but when compared to the lights, they are much less disruptive to the market.
Okay, well, if the price of the commodity is climbing sharply higher, one would think that's got to be good news for the companies that are producing the commodity in question. Is that, in fact, how it's playing out in the market for rare earth element companies?
Well, there aren't any producers, number one, but you would think that this would trickle down to the explorers. But that really hasn't happened. It's been quite a mixed bag. As you're aware, Rob, this sector is an extremely speculative market. It's driven by a very opaque supply-demand fundamental scenario. There are no set prices. They're basically negotiated between a buyer and a seller. Perhaps there are some offtake contracts that we're not entirely aware of, but you know, it's very dependent on world economic health or the perception as such. So from mid-May to early July, the rare earth element sector got hammered during the Greek crisis and the flash crash. We saw stock valuations at that time drop 50% or more. And as we alluded to at the time, that presented buying opportunities.
The story of rare earth elements, though, is really, I would think, in its initial stages, and it's really not all that widely known, though, is it? I mean, this is something that is really has yet to spring on the market as a whole.
Well, that's correct, although there has been a recent catalyst, and that would be the $350 million IPO of Molycorp, which at the time in late July when it IPO'd, that was not well received on the New York Stock Exchange. The stock dropped drastically, probably about 15% from its IPO price. But now it has reached new highs six sessions in a row, closed at 1950 on Friday from a low at one point a month ago of about $12. Mm-hmm. And that has really stimulated the overall market.
Okay, well, that's Molycorp. Let's roll all of this into one and get your overall take on the junior rare earth element sector, Mickey. Is there a lot out there for investors to consider today that's really worthwhile pursuing?
Well, the Molycorp IPO certainly increased U.S. public awareness, and I think that has really been the catalyst for this rise in prices that we've seen among the best junior REE explorers. My four favorites have either doubled or tripled since their lows in early July. However, other companies have suffered during this period of time. The ETF, which I've mentioned a few times, the REE ETF, is now trading at 20% below its net asset value. And then a well-known Canadian metal powder and alloy manufacturer also has not participated, mm-hmm. probably because of the perception of supply disruptions.
Well, it's still a very, it's quite speculative still, this area of the market, isn't it?
Well, it is, and even some of the little penny stocks with not a lot of merit are getting carried along with some of the legitimate explorers. What this looks like to me is the third leg up in the speculative bubble. So I expect very bullish prices for the next few weeks or so. The valuations are high right now, mm-hmm. So I would encourage investors to tread very carefully in this space.
Okay, let's end it on that. Well, Mickey, next time out, what do you want to talk about?
Well, Rob, as you're well aware, I will be in Toronto for a Cambridge House Investment Conference. And that will give us a chance to get together and do a show face-to-face. So we'll pick something timely at that time in the new wild world of commodities markets.
Okay, looking forward to getting together with you, Mickey. Take care, and we'll chat in a few weeks from now.
I look forward to it, Rob.
Same here. Thanks, Mickey. That's Mickey Folt, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.